Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iPad Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Coming up, your iPad is your photo editor extraordinaire. That's we have some must-have apps for you.
Plus, Facebook's app gets entertainment love. Skitch helps you annotate almost anything. And an app store does it.
All that and a sports reel for the rest of us. I don't know why I'm talking like that. What? iPad Today.
iPad Today is brought to you by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used iPhone, iPad, or other Apple product is worth at gazelle.com. This, ladies and gentlemen.
This is Spartacus iPad Today.
300 iPad. Is this episode 300? No.
It is episode 205, but it feels like 300.
Wouldn't be the same movie if they call it 205.
No, they wouldn't. It
has to be around.
You know, I've never seen that movie, 300.
You haven't?
No.
It's a good movie.
But it had like these like groundbreaking graphics when it came out, right?
Not really,
something
because...
crazy about it?
Yeah. You know, it's based on a graphic novel, but it's not the first movie based on a graphic novel to have that unique look. Sin City did and others,
Where
they use, they're kind of like using things like Magic Bullet and Final Cut to make it look hyper real slash surreal. It's cool.
They're dropping frames here and there to kind of give it a little something.
Yeah. Makes it look like a comic book. And if actually, if you've read the, I think it's Frank Miller's 300, the graphic novel it's based on, scene for scene, they've really duplicated it. It's quite good in that respect, if you like graphic novels, which I do.
Well, I certainly liked Sin City. You know, Sin City 2 is coming out as well.
Well, there. Let's just go now.
It's not out quite yet. We should get in line.
Welcome to iPad.
So we're first today. You know, this is actually iPad tomorrow in a way, because we're recording it a little bit ahead of time.
By the time you see it, we'll have been iPad last month.
Sure.
So it could be tomorrow, future or past.
But this, what's kind of fun about this is we will read the tea leaves and you will know what's going to happen in July.
As we do this, I will have as you see this, I will have just returned from Hawaii the day before.
Yeah.
Sarah will be in Iceland.
Correct. Actually, when this airs, I might still be in Paris before I go to Iceland.
So you go. Wait, let me get this straight.
You know how
tell
I
me about
I like
trip.
To go to the same places over and over.
So you're going to Paris because it's Paris, and you're going to meet this French guy that you met on Tinder, and then
you're not right, but you're not far off.
I'm combining stories here.
Let's say yes.
Your new French friend that you're studying French with on Duolingo for.
You have a good memory. Okay.
And then, well, hey, I was here. And then,
still, that doesn't mean anything.
After that. You're going to go to Iceland?
Mm-hmm.
How long is this vacation?
Not long. 2 weeks.
Why are you... it seems like a strange two things to combine.
The Iceland trip is just happening. And then... but it's only... It's like
have you been invited by the Icelandic
government? No. But it's a group of us. We're all going, but we're not even going for a week. And I thought, well, I want to go all the way over there and...
So it's the same group going to Paris?
No.
I see. So you're going with a group to Iceland.
Yes.
And then since you're going to be in the vicinity...
I thought, well, why not do a little Paris in the summer?
I understand, because you can never get too much Paris.
I can't.
And Paris in July, that'll be great.
I think so.
Yeah, you're going to have a great time.
We've got World Cup. We've got Wimbledon games to watch.
That'd
be French,
fun.
The Tour de France will be underway.
Are you going to go see that?
No, but you know, it's kind of in the right country for everything.
I'll give you an idea of what it would be like. You're standing there, your beautiful French countryside all around you, rolling hills, little French houses, a French village, a guy with a beret and a baguette, and you're standing there and it's beautiful and the cows and the things and it goes and it's over.
Right.
That's
then you can say, that was fun. Yeah.
3 seconds later, it's over.
Yeah. Well,
don't come back, you know. They just go once.
I was in Paris for the finish of the Tour de France.
See, that's different.
Finished right
they
in
have
front
to
of
stop.
Me on the Champs.
Because they have to stop right there.
Right. But it was Lance Armstrong, so, you know. That's kind of
that
weird.
Isn't that sad? They just kind of tarnished it now.
Yeah, at the time, pretty exciting
stuff.
Pretty exciting stuff. So I'll just leave it in my memory as, you know, a fun thing to do.
So this show is about the iPad, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And each and every week we get together, we give you apps, we give you tips, we talk about the iPad news. We thought we'd do photography apps. We haven't done it in a while this week.
We haven't. And photography apps it's one of the most popular categories in the App Store consistently. Some photo apps I feel are, you know, they leave a little to be desired, but some are really cool. And especially because we're now in summer and Leo's going to be in Hawaii. You're going to come back from Hawaii with all these great pictures.
Right.
I plan to do the same thing. And in fact, I'm not, you know, just going to be taking photos on, you know, people are talking to me.
And this doesn't mean you're going to use your iPad to take the pictures. You could take them on other stuff, put them on your iPad,
exactly.
Edit them, process them.
You know, the camera that you sort of lent me for...
I gave you that.
Well,
that's yours to keep.
Well, thank you.
That's forever and ever.
Nice. But if you ever said, sir, I want it back, I would give it back to you.
But I can tell you right now,
yes.
I will never say that.
Okay, so the camera that you gave me...
Camera. I know it has my name, address, and phone number in the case.
It actually does.
And I apologize for that, because I didn't think that maybe I might pass it along.
Just
scratch it out. But if somebody calls me and asks, I'll say, oh, no, that's Sarah's. Give it to her.
Right, yes.
Because it's your camera now.
Okay, cool.
Seriously, it's a good camera.
I know. It's a great camera, yeah. And I'm going to take that, and I'm going to take a lot of pictures of wild horses.
Perfect.
And the blue lagoons.
Perfect.
And the glaciers.
And the volcano.
And the volcano and the whole thing. Yeah. But then...
Wow.
See what he did there? Brian is on it. That's an aperture.
Wow.
No, that's a shutter. But afterwards, what do you do with all these photos, right? So, the first app that I wanted to talk about, we have talked about in the past, but I thought it was worth another look because it is actually...
Dipstick.
Diptych.
Diptych.
Not Dipstick. Just Diptych.
Should be called Dipstick.
Well, sure.
No, that's a great one for Instagram, any photo sharing site, Facebook.
Yeah.
Because it gives you frames.
It gives you frames, and not only that, but you can put more than one photo. You see these on Instagram all the time. And I know people who say, like, hey, how do you do that? Every time I post anything like that, how do you do that? What you're doing is you're just populating a variety of... let's not have me... flipping anybody
out. I love this program. Oh, that's a weird picture.
Yeah, I know. I was sending a picture to Prager. These were all, like, fun on planes. It's telling me, for some reason, it's acting like I didn't have it downloaded already because it's a new app or something. It's probably like assuming that I don't really
maybe
know what's
going on.
Maybe
got updated or...
Yeah, that sort of thing. But what you've done now is you've created a nice square image. This is all just one image, really. But you can populate it with different photos within the app. Now, it's not just that. Like, this picture you said is. You're right. It's kind of terrible. Yeah, maybe I could just change the color a little bit. That might make it look a little bit better. Boy, that is really unflattering. Okay, that's at least slightly better. Sure. Okay. And then if I hang down here, then, yeah, I could go ahead and, okay, well, this is starting to look a little bit artsy. And then, see, I'm going to send this picture to you, Leo, and you're going to be so happy.
I like actually all the effects you can apply.
It's kind of fun. It used to be like, oh, you can put a collection together.
Yeah, this has really been improved.
Yeah. You just have more options. And again, it's the option for any of the squares that you are currently clicked on. Now, if I'm happy with this, by the way, and again, you really do have more options. It didn't used to be like this. It was just basically putting a bunch of stuff together. You've got options about the way that the frame looks, the whole thing. Let's say I'm happy with this, though. All right, I'm done playing around. I want to go ahead and publish. Now, of course, I've got my normal, medium, or large. I always go with large. Why would you ever go with anything besides the largest quality possible? And then I say, yeah, I'll just go ahead and save that to my camera roll because I don't know what I'm going to do with it yet. And now that is in... my camera roll. Now, it's kind of neat because that was just success. Okay, cool. That was just one of the many layout options you have. You can do all sorts of stuff. It can get kind of complicated. You can go jumbo. Fancy is, I don't play around with this one too much, but if you wanted two photos to kind of have some sort of a wave quality, you could do that.
Oh, I kind of like that. I saw there's a peace sign too.
There's a peace sign.
You can make political statements with this.
Yeah, exactly. Let's do that with Sarah on a plane. Very political. And I don't know. It's just, I think this is, it inspires people to be very creative. But see, this is kind of neat. I kind of like the waviness. I mean, these are somewhat weird options because these are terrible photos that I took with my iPad on a plane by myself because that's what I do on planes. But again, you get the idea. And if only there was a soccer ball, I could really tie this whole thing together.
That basketball looks kind of like a soccer
ball. Kind of soccer-like.
You can tell it's a United States program.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's Diptych, and it's fun. And there are, if for whatever reason, you simply don't have enough patterns, there is a Diptych store where you can buy stuff. I have never needed to go in here and get anything that wasn't already available, but some of these are kind of neat. Kind of got that jagged thing going on. I like it. I like DipTech. It's been in the App Store really almost since the beginning. I think it's probably one of the first photo apps that Leo and I reviewed back in 2010 that was like kind of cool and made piggybacked off of these popular photo editing programs and social networks like Instagram or Facebook. And it's one of those conversation pieces. The technical people, the non-technical people in your life will all be like, oh, how did you do
Isn't
that?
Funny? Of all the things, of all the filters, yeah, it's like that's the one everybody goes, wow.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
But it's kind of nice because it's like you can cluster a bunch of photos together and together they are giant.
I'm going to show you two programs that Andy Yannotko showed us on MacBreak Weekly that we've started using and playing with. Lisa takes pictures and she processes them with this, gets big prints and frames them, and it looks like you made a painting out of your photos. The first one is called Waterlog. You can pick any picture in your gallery. Here's a picture of Sarah and Pooh. And then we're going to have a variety of different paint styles that we can apply to it. And it really does look as if it's a watercolor. Now, this is natural, but you also have, and you could see the different how they would look luminous. It's technical. This is kind of a interesting design. So this one has a more heavy drawing feature to it. Color it in, and that one's called Travelog. I think these are all kind of really neat filters, and as you play with them, I think you'll get some interesting ideas of some of the things that you can do with this. And some of them are kind of weird. Then you can also choose some parameters, how big or small the brush strokes are, how dark or light they are. You can add a border if you want, a little frame. This is another one where you might take a picture that you've taken, draw over, and it really does look like it's handmade. That probably isn't the thing I'd most want to share Sarah Lane.
That's maybe not the best version.
Well, and here's something I've learned. It works best with simple pictures. So
yeah.
I don't want to use a picture from the camera. Let me take a picture from my library that's a little bit simpler. Here's some pictures that they have. Here's a picture that it comes with. Flowers will be a good example. This is a simpler picture. And once you turn it into a watercolor, actually, really looks like a real watercolor painting. This is called Waterlog.
And I like how it will present itself as if
Isn't it neat as it's going?
It's really pretty.
Yeah.
You know, you have to like that sort of a look, but all of a sudden...
That looks like a watercolor.
Well, not only that, but it's just more interesting than the original photo.
Frankly, yeah.
You know?
A lot of times that's the case with this. And then you can print it, and if you print it in big sizes, as we've done and frame it, it really looks like watercolors on your wall. So that's one, and then when we mentioned that on MacBreak Weekly, people mentioned a couple of other choices. Glaze is another one. Unlike Waterlog, this is going to give you more of an acrylic look, like somebody's really laying on the thick brush strokes, almost a Van Gogh style. And so some pictures lend themselves a little bit better to something like this. I think these are really kind of fun programs that have very different styles. I mean, that really looks like somebody hand-painted that. Somebody not very good hand, somebody really bad hand painted it. But again, it depends.
Right.
That's kind of cool. Depends on the effect you're going for. But these are all actually painterly styles.
Look, this is I was at a that's weird looking. I was doing my own Waterlog. I went to this winery over the weekend and we took a walk.
Yeah.
And I took this photo that's, I don't know, sort of unremarkable. But I think as a waterlog photo.
See, there you go. That's what it is.
You know what I mean?
It covers. I love it.
Yeah.
It looks like an Andrew Wyeth.
I don't know what that means. But
it's
yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. I was pretty happy with it. It's kind of neat. Ooh, yeah. Look at that. It just changes everything completely. I would put this on, I don't know, in my bathroom or something.
Well, in fact, yeah. That's where we actually have one of our.
There's the bathtub, the tub.
Yeah, it's Lisa in a bathtub. It's her back, and it's beautiful. But as you said, it was kind of an indifferent picture when I took it. But by the time we processed it with Waterlog, it looked quite good. There's a third one called Brushstroke. So there's three. I would suggest all three, just because different pictures look better in the different styles. Glaze, Waterlog, and Brushstroke. These are kind of, you know, this has been around for quite some time. You can do this in Photoshop. You've been able to do this in other painting programs before. But it's nice to have it on your iPad because you can quickly
take a photo and make it something kind of interesting.
Glaze, waterlog, and brushstroke. And you find that they're all...
A few bucks each.
Yeah.
Prices vary on these.
Well, here's another app that has been around for a while. In fact, I've had it on my iPhone for some time. But it is new. Not water fog, Sarah. Water log. It's a note for me to look at that later. It's new to the iPad, and this is Afterlight. Now, when I said earlier that there are a lot of these, you know, there's so many photo apps, and a lot of them do kind of the same stuff, and a lot of them feel sort of unremarkable. And Afterlight is nice, though, and I'm already familiar with it because I have used it on the iPhone for a variety of stuff. But one thing that I think that Afterlight does really well, let's go ahead and, okay, here's a photo of me from like a million years ago. And, you know, again, it's kind of like, I don't know, it's just a photo. Okay, so let's go ahead and use this. What I like about Afterlight is that you have all sorts of, you know, manual options for, oh, let's change the, you know, we warmed it up a little bit. We've screwed around with the highlight tones. All of that stuff is pretty standard. You're going to get everything you want there. But it has some really nice effects. And it'll put it in a different category than, say, you know, your Instagram filters or sepia tones and that sort of thing. I'm looking at a bunch of different light leak filters now. So I can be like, ooh.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, like, that's maybe not quite what I was going for. Maybe something a little bit more. Ooh, that's kind of neat. Like, it kind of gives me a little sunny sun thing going on here. Ooh, I like that one. Okay. Now, all of a sudden, and you can bring it down too, dial it down so that it's really just not even, it kind of just looks like we've all got a little bit more sun on our faces type of a thing. Do you want to finalize the texture? If you set yes to default, you can change the settings. Yeah, go ahead and do that. And so this is just a variety of some of the effects that you can add to the photo. And I just feel like I don't see these particular filters anywhere else. Snapseed does a pretty good job of kind of weird textury filters. But again, they don't look like the ones that Afterlight provides. So I think that's kind of fun.
Because Afterlight's focused on lighting effects pretty much, yeah?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
It's all about adding, you know, whether it's light leak or instant film or adding a little dust texture type of a thing to a photo. I think that you just get some nice results. And I consistently feel like, oh, yeah, you know, if I had used any other program, it would have looked a little bit more, I don't know, filter pedestrian, if that's even a term.
There's a lot of filter pedestrian out there.
Yeah. Who needs it?
You should have Snapseed because it's free. Google bought the company, Nick, that makes it. And it's you know, it's kind of the go-to. Everybody should have that. You should also have iPhoto, absolutely. That's Apple's own program, now free on the iPad.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you already have it if you downloaded it when you got your new iPad. And those both are kind of must-have apps. We've mentioned also before, and I'll mention again just because it's such a good app. If you use Lightroom on your desktop, it makes the iPad a perfect adjunct to professional or serious photographers because it gives you access to your Lightroom library. What you'll do is you'll say in Lightroom, you create a collection of photos and you say, I want to share that with the Creative Cloud. And then it's available to you to download on the iPad. And you can do a couple of the things that you really want to do in a kind of more lean back situation. One is go through your photos and say yes or no. That's a big one because I come back from trips. You'll come back from Iceland with hundreds, if not thousands, of photos. The ability to just swipe up to make it a pick or swipe down to make it a reject is just means that you can swipe through your files and quickly say, yeah, that's a no. Oh, that's a stupid one. And pick the ones that you really like. And I think that's very nice. By the way, one of the other things I wanted to mention, remember we were talking about Game of Thrones, the last episode of the season.
Yeah.
She puts her dragons in the basement. This is the basement she put them in. It's Diocletian's palace in Croatia.
And this might be something you'd want to flag so that you can find it more easily later.
That's true, yeah.
And I don't know what you would do with it.
Well, just it's nice to know.
You're right.
There it is. And actually not a great photo. You know, this might be good in waterlogged, though, because it might be a really great kind of photo to water. You see, it's simple. It's kind of textury.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't want to. We've talked about Lightroom before. No point in spending a lot of time on it. But, boy, if you use Lightroom as a regular tool on your desktop, you must get. And it's free, the free Lightroom app.
On your iPad. It is. They've really done a great, great job on this. I think it's superb.
Something that we haven't talked about before, but is a photo editor that weirdly has like a million reviews. I don't know how I've gotten this far not talking about it. It's called SplitPic. It's a SplitPic photo editor, and it's free, and that's because you will see in-ad advertisements. Like there's some Farmville thing that I keep trying to get out of. But what's neat about this app is that, and it does only work in portrait mode, and I'm not sure why, is that it can give you a lot of really interesting effects that kind of have to do with splitting your photo up. Like you could see that somebody did something with the color here. These are featured, by the way, and I actually...
I thought that was you.
No.
Oh, how funny.
I wish. That's a nice photo, but she's actually... No, she's...
It looks just like you.
I can tell that that's not me. But this is... The idea is to kind of make things a little... You know, it's a little wouldn't be possible before type of thing. So it is a combination of being able to put pictures inside of other pictures or maybe, you know, clone somebody.
I see. Those are different pictures brought together.
Right. And this one's kind of fun because it's like... Up top is the mountains and a city, and somebody has flipped
this.
The two. Yeah, so it's
I
really...
wish they would just charge a few bucks and not put ads in.
I know, me too. Well, let's see. This might be...
Maybe you can buy it?
Yeah.
Mm. This is one thing you'll see with a lot of apps. A lot of them are kind of junky.
Well,
and it's really too bad.
I don't feel like this app is junky at all. See, this is somebody who was able to
clone.
Well,
the UI is, but yet the functionality is fabulous.
Yeah, so if I was to, again, go ahead and just... Take a photo.
I hate to put something that looks kind of junky on my iPad. Now, you can do an unlock for 99 cents. You'll get no ads.
Okay.
They have pro layouts for $2, pro filters for $2. No ads alone, $1.99. So, it's in-app purchases will give you a little more. I'm going to get this, though. I like this.
No, it's fun.
Yeah.
It's just silly. You know, I'm putting together a really stupid version of the side of our set here. But as you can see, all right, I just took three photos basically of the same thing. Now, imagine if that was, you know, Leo or so. Yeah, it probably should have been Leo.
Kind of looks like me.
It kind of it is you.
Yeah, smiley smile.
Well, let's go back, and here, I'll do it again. And I'll make it appropriate. So it'll be Leo, Leo, Leo. So we'll go ahead and select a layout here. And you're okay. There's three of them. All right. Okay.
You know how I am.
Oh yeah.
Jump right in.
Yeah. You just always get in there.
I like to play.
Now I can blur some lines, so it looks like you know the three Leos are kind of together. All right. So that's, you know, it's a little strange, but sure, okay.
Weird,
not a problem.
Weird, weird.
And then how about a nice little filter? Because you can't do anything without filters these days. Ooh, that's a little too bright. This is getting kind of strange. Okay. And then
Is this still SplitPic?
Yeah.
This is amazing.
Yeah, it's kind of neat, huh?
There's a lot of cool stuff.
I don't want it to bleed too much. Interesting. I think that's about right. And then, yeah, so when you get happy with something, again, this is a very stylized version. I go ahead and say save. I would like access to my photos. That's fine. Saved. Good times. I don't like all of the pushiness of the other apps that it would like me to.
Well, maybe if you pay $1.99, you don't see that.
Right. But, you know, it's...
That's kind of cool. I mean, that seems like it does an awful lot.
Yeah. It's neat.
Can't make me look any better, but it doesn't.
No, well, I'm trying.
How do they do that?
Well, it's magic. It's beautiful. Yeah. Anyway, it's just fun. It's fun. I thought that I was playing around with this over the weekend, and I thought, you know, I haven't seen an app that made me feel as sort of creative in a silly way as this one does. That's what Brian's been doing.
Yeah,
back there.
You didn't know what I was talking about.
I was like, Brian.
Yeah.
Brian.
So
many Sarah's. Ugh.
One last one.
Okay.
Autodesk Pixelator Express. It's free. I think we've talked about it before. Because it comes from Autodesk, of course, it's it's ad free and free. Let's just pick a photo real quickly. Actually, you know what? Let's start with the collage. So this gives you, you know, much like Diptych, a variety of frames. Not quite the variety of frames that Diptych offers, but we can do something fun.
Let's make it sort of like a photo booth roll type thing.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of like that. And put a Sarah Lane in one. And let's put something else in another. Maybe me in the other. There you go. That's kind of the show in a nutshell right there, huh?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to finish that. And, no further editing. Yeah, that's all right, because I think that's pretty much perfect. Now, that's the effect, but I can add some, you know, special stuff. And since it's the World Cup going on now, I can overlay a World Cup flag on top of it for the United States or a World Cup decal. It has borders. It has type. Has quite a few stickers. I haven't downloaded a whole bunch of them, but this is for free, this is a pretty fun app. This is called Pixelator Express. It's from Autodesk, the company that does AutoCAD and a lot of other graphics programs, so they know what they're doing there. Let's see. Your favorite. How about a little like I'm spitting? How about that?
Okay.
Yeah, that's good, and I can make it a little less disgusting. There we go.
There's so much. There's so much to do.
There's so much to do. So many places to be. There it is. My work of art.
That's really good.
P-I-X-L-R.
P-I-X-L-R.
Is that
okay.
Right?
Pixelator.
Pixelator. Pixelator. That's it. Yes.
Pixelator.
Pixelator Express.
And that's by Autodesk.
By Autodesk. The big guys. You've heard of them.
Oh, I have.
Yep.
Oh, haven't I?
Yep.
Pixelator Express. Beautiful.
Let's put the Australian flag over you.
You know, it's that's cool. That's
Australia,
kinda,
Australia, Australia.
Cool.
I can fade it a little bit.
You know, they won over the weekend.
Yeah.
There
just
you go.
Stuff like that.
I mean, I'm
know.
Not really partial to Australia necessarily, but I'm not partial. Yeah, see, that's cool.
Yeah, that's good. Rotate it.
Yeah. See, I would do that with the U.S. flag, and then I could make that my new Facebook profile. You know, so I feel like sometimes people say, well, you know, what am I going to do with some stylized weird thing? Like, who's going to want this? It could be fun for, like, a profile photo, you know, on Twitter or Facebook or something, like, where you can change it fairly easily and people go, that's cool. I wonder how Sarah did that. And it's a conversation piece. And, you know, why not?
And as long as we're going crazy, let's put a little, no, that's no good. Let's cancel that. How about, let's put a little goal.
Yeah.
In here. Goal! There you go. That's Sarah's World Cup.
Goal! Oh, it's very strange.
So good. Yeah. I'm
it's if Banksy did that,
we'd all say he's such an artist.
Much money.
He's such an artist.
It means something.
Let's share that with Facebook.
To everybody.
Beautiful game.
Everybody's going to like that photo.
Yeah.
A lot of likes. A lot of Facebook likes.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to talk a little bit more about how Facebook's app is changing in just a minute. But before that,
Might be a good time to talk about Gazelle.
I thought, yeah, you know.
You got gadgets.
One day, this 5S is going to seem pretty antiquated.
One day soon. Maybe the next couple of months.
Oh, that's true.
You ready for the iPhone 6? So here's how this works with Gazelle. You can go to Gazelle now and get a quote that's good for 30 days. Always a good idea, 30 days before the next big thing comes out, to get that quote. Because, you know, prices drop as soon as the next big thing comes out. So you want to get the maximum price you can. So once you say, I know I want an iPhone 6.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we don't know the announcement date, but let's say it's going to be September 5th.
Right.
Then that means 30 days before that, about a month from now, you should go to Gazelle and get a quote. You don't have to do anything at that point. You've just got the maximum quote. Same thing with your iPad, your iPod. They also buy tablets from Samsung and Google, Microsoft. They buy a lot of Macintosh's displays. Look at that, $330 for your 5S. That's a 32 gig Verizon 5S, $330. Now, get all those quotes now, because as soon as you do, then you're ready. You're good. You're ready to go. You can actually go to gazelle.com and pull the trigger, say, okay, I want us to get a lot of stuff in there because it's just cash waiting to make money there. Say, I'm ready to do it. And they will send you a box, prepaid, postage, everything. You pile it in. You send it to them. If you forget to wipe the data, they'll wipe it for you. Then they send you cash. They either send you a check, a PayPal credit, or here's the pro tip if you buy a lot of stuff at Amazon. Go to Amazon, get the Amazon gift card, and you're going to get 5% more than you would otherwise.
Offers are good for 30 days. They'll wipe your data for free. They've paid more than $100 million to over 700,000 customers. We love Gazelle. We use it all the time. And I can tell you, it is the easiest, hassle-free way to get rid of the old gadgets, get some cash in for the new. Gazelle.com. Go there today.
Do it. Do it now. I told you to do it.
So do I have to do anything to get the new Facebook app, or do I just get that automatically? And
it's an update that is rolling out over, you know, they do these rollouts.
Yeah, see, I don't think
I'm never on the first wave of any rollout, I'm telling you. Somebody's got it in for me. But, yeah, the Facebook app is, for iPad, is getting a little bit more of, you know, they call it like the TechCrunch article calls it an entertainment hub. Josh Constein, who works over at TechCrunch, is like the Facebook guy.
Facebook seems to constantly want to change how what it's doing.
Stop.
They can't figure out what they're doing.
Well,
so now they're in an entertainment hub.
Well, here's what's going on. So, all right, if you're looking at the next version of Facebook, you can see, and we're looking at this on a page, but that right-hand rail there now includes trending topics, but also games that...
I don't have that. Yeah, that's different.
Yeah, you've got that you have and that you use. And it's sort of, you know, it's not changing anything. The trending topics thing has been going on Facebook web for some time. I never pay much attention to it, although I have clicked a couple times, like, why is this celebrity trending? I don't know the story. And then, you know, you're catapulted over to 400 million Facebook posts about the same thing. But it's just really unifying all of the conversation that's going on Facebook. And they're going to do this for the iPhone app as well, although I think it looks nicer on the iPad, of course, because you have more room. It's sort of that Twitter and Facebook kind of doing this game of tennis where Facebook says, well, this is a place that you want to get your actual serious news. So we're going to downgrade a lot of these like feel-good viral stories that people start to equate Facebook with, kind of these almost like spammy viral upworthy type things, and give you more of a reason to be like, oh, you know what else is happening on Facebook that people talk a lot about? You know, Father's Day or the World Cup.
Fourth of July. I know we have an international audience, but here in the United States, sorry about that. Here in the United States, the 4th of July is a pretty important day.
It's a pretty important day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had fireworks. We ate red, white, and blue cake.
Mm-hmm.
We celebrated many a victory in the World Cup. These were things
that happened.
That happened three
on the
days
4th
ago.
Of July. I know that my cats were upset because of the loud
fireworks.
Noises.
You know, it's so funny. Our local kennel has a quiet night on the 4th of July, and you bring your dog there, and they promise to keep it quiet.
How?
I don't know. Maybe they put blankets over the windows, but they keep it quiet because dogs don't like the fireworks.
No, in fact, it's a time of year where a lot of dogs end up at shelters because they get spooked and run, and people don't keep them indoors.
They run.
Keep your animals indoors if you think they're going to be upset.
Because it's scary for them.
It's
they don't know what those explosions are.
Yeah. So anyway, that's Facebook.
Hate Facebook.
You don't hate
Sorry
Facebook.
Sorry to scare you, Ozzy. I just traumatized my dog.
Oh.
I am so sick of Facebook. They keep changing this algorithm of what you see on the news feed. Mm. I never know what I'm going to see. And lately, in the last few weeks, it's been dreck.
So
all I want to see is how my family and friends are doing.
Yeah. So Facebook...
I never see anything you post there.
Really?
You do not surface in my news feed.
You know, I don't post much.
Well,
that
would be why.
I'm on Facebook constantly. I actually do look at my news feed quite a bit. And I get these... For certain friends, like I've got this, you know, like my best friend growing up, I have a notification that comes to me anytime she posts anything because it's like I'm really interested in her life.
So
and
can you
we're not
say I
want to
see more of her stuff and I don't want to see so much of people I don't really know or care about?
Well, there's not like a dial. That would be nice. You could be like, you know what, Sarah? I just need to like turn you up a little bit on the dial.
Yeah, Google Plus does that. You have little sliders.
Yeah,
you say,
that would be good.
Less of her, more of him, kind of thing.
Facebook, you can say things like, yeah, I only want to see like really important updates from this person. You can also have it come into your notification section, which I think is very helpful for me. When I, for whatever reason, for example, I don't know. I'm just following it. But my mom, I have my mom in my notifications as well. And of course you get notifications when somebody comments on something that you've done. That's one thing I hate though about Facebook. Isn't it so annoying that when, let's say you post a photo and I write, I wish we had that. Is it, you post some sort of photo and I like it. It's a nice photo of you and Lisa. And I say, cool photo. Looks like a fun time at the beach. then I keep getting notifications.
Because you liked it, so you now are like part of it.
Yeah. If I like it, I won't get notifications. But if I comment.
Oh, no. Even if you like it, sometimes you'll get notifications. It's very annoying.
I think maybe that's a setting because I don't get it after liking. But if I comment. Because you comment because you're trying to be nice.
I get notifications. You
right?
know that post you liked? Somebody put a comment on it. It's like, I don't care. You know, this is part of the problem is Facebook. It's opaque. The settings, you don't know. It's so complicated. You don't know how you set
don't know.
It or what it's doing. And I just noticed that when I go to Facebook, I don't get anything I care about. I haven't got anything I care about in months. And I feel like I want it to be better. And it's not. Is it really going?
I don't know. I really don't dislike Facebook. I don't even, like, I can't get up in arms over Facebook.
I want it to be better.
I've got friends that I talk to, and you know how I am with Facebook Messenger? I'm all over Facebook Messenger.
You use that all the time.
Every day.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't have the new news feed. I'll look with interest when it comes out.
Please do.
I hope it's improved over the old news feed.
I don't think that game discovery and trending videos is going to make you happy.
This is my favorite Facebook post I've seen in a long, long time.
It's so confusing, too.
We don't know what's going on. I don't know why the Australian flag is there, even. But
Hashtag beautiful game.
Beautiful game. Goal.
Oh, no.
Let's see. Do I have any likes? No, one.
Not one person liked that photo. Yeah, it's all right. Nobody's sympathy like
going,
it.
Not going anywhere. Sympathy like. That's a new phrase.
Yeah, well,
I like
see,
that.
You know what? Look, you don't have that many friends. You didn't post it publicly. That's why.
What?
You posted it only to friends. See the little... the little two-person to the right of Pixelator Express.
This little
no,
here?
No. In the yeah, there
oh,
you go.
Oh, there. Uh-huh. Oh, no, ooh. I don't want that. Ooh. Again, this is another reason. So that little thing.
Yeah, but...
No, that doesn't do anything. That it privacy. I do this thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Shared so with friends. I should share it publicly, you're saying.
Well, you do whatever you want, but I find that if I share it with friends rather than public, I'm going to get a lot less interaction.
Well, there you go. I've shared it publicly now.
Oh, boy.
And let's tag friends. That would be Sarah Lane. Now, you're
going
to get notifications like crazy.
Somebody's going to be like, what are you doing with the Australian flag, you weirdo? You know, and I'll have to make up some story that I'm leaving the country.
I think they're going to think. That I thought that was an American flag is what they're going to think. I will get emails saying, Leo, you know that's the Union Jack. I know it was red, white, and blue, but really, don't you know your own flag?
We did get one like from a Brian Burnett, who's behind. He's on the deck.
Big fan.
It's coming in. The likes are pouring in.
Brian knows a Banksy-esque. See, creative genius.
See, I don't want to see any more of these. Which U.S. state should you live in? A lot of these. Questionnaire. Which Game of Thrones character are you? Which king are you? And then there's an ad. Okay, that's the top thing. Then there's an ad. Throw that away. Here's another one. Casey Kasem died 3 years ago. I don't know. Here's a house. A funny house. There's nothing I want to see in here. Good. Kitties at Fenway Park. That's nice.
See, you're already feeling kind of happy all of a sudden. It just happens.
KFI keeps putting pictures of people in my feed.
Here's a guy. Disturbing photo.
Lives in Finland.
Okay.
That's good.
All right.
Yep. That's it. Happy Father's Day. That's old. Like, it's ancient.
Yeah. That's yesterday. Yesterday. I don't know, man. I think you ought to just embrace it. 2 billion strong.
Is it two now?
Isn't that right?
No.
1 billion.
It couldn't be. Well, it's more than one.
1.2. Somewhere between 1.2 or something like that. I just rounded up.
I think Facebook is just, I come and go on it. Sometimes I go, wow, this is really great. I'm getting a lot of engagement. And then they change the algorithm and it's like, what am I looking at?
There are certain people that, and we don't have to talk about Facebook for the entirety of the show, but there are certain people that use Facebook so much. And I find that if I'm interested in them and their lives, then I kind of, it reminds me, I'm going to check out what's going on over at Facebook.
Yeah.
And I just end up hanging out there more often, and that's fine. I would say that it's not, for example, when I want to talk about soccer, it's like I'm not going to post anything to Facebook. I don't know why. I just feel like, by the time you see it, it'll be like 3 days from now.
Do you use Google Plus?
Not really.
I don't think that's a solution either.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know that. any of them are solutions over each other. They're just places that people prefer
to hang out. I stopped
using
Path.
I don't use Path anymore either, but you know, we have
like
a lot of coworkers that love Google Plus, and I don't have anything bad to say about it. I'm not compelled to go there on a daily basis.
I want a new social network.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Yet another social network.
Yeah, one that won't make me sick. One that won't make me stay up all night.
Right.
And make me feel 3 feet thick.
Yeah. Is that what he says? 3 feet thick?
Something like that.
Oh, I always thought it was fick. This is a Huey Lewis in the News song.
You got it right away, though. I'm impressed.
Yeah, yeah.
I want a new Facebook.
Yeah. That's I had that on cassette. The album is called Sports.
Sports.
Yeah. It's a really good album if you like that sort of thing. Hey, so let's move on from Facebook to a duh tip. Now, many of you are going to say, oh my God, I totally knew that already existed, but somebody out there didn't. So bear with Bryce here, whose duh tip says, I didn't know that when you're looking at apps, if you press on the small picture, it turns into a full screen shot. Okay, now what Bryce is saying is, okay, so let's say we're looking at Harmony Whiz in the App Store, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know. That kind of looks interesting, but like I can't really tell. You can go ahead and blow up your pictures full size. It is a very simple duh tip that many of you, or at least a couple of you, didn't know before. And that's why it's called
a duh tip.
A duh tip.
Because most of you did know that.
Most of you did.
But a few of you didn't. And we don't want you to feel too bad.
But yeah, a lot of you might just say like, oh, I never really thought to do that. So there you go. It just gives you a better window into what an app's all about. And, you know, with iOS 8, even though we don't get a trial period, the developer will have the opportunity to record a little video.
Yeah.
That at least, you know what I think it'll cut down on? Well, a couple of things. It'll cut down on you downloading an app that you end up not liking installing.
That would be good.
And also, I think it'll cut down on a lot of like those like, let's walk you through how this app works when you first start an app, which is sometimes helpful but sometimes unnecessary because you will have already seen that.
Mm.
So there's a little bit of like,
why don't they do demos? Is that hard to do? Or they feel like they'd be cheating somehow? People would like, it seems like they should do demos. Android used to do demos.
Know.
You had 24 hours to ask for your money back. So in effect, you had a 24-hour time frame.
They probably figure some fraud thing would
And then Android backed off on it. And they made it 15 minutes. So there must be something. There must be somebody that's like changing their system clock or something.
Oh, yeah.
Every day, I'm going to change my system clock.
Just get all these apps for
free.
Yeah.
It's like, come
yeah,
on.
I'm going to. Oh, I'm just going to stick it to the rules. Well, thank you, Bryce, for that wonderful duh tip. Duh tips are always appreciated, by the way. I love love adding duh tips from you guys because it's fun because then I know like, oh, Bryce's day just got better because he figured out that there was that fun little trick.
Yeah.
All right, so Gloria writes in and says, could you talk about a good web clipping or a visual organizing app that would be good alternatives for SpringPad now that SpringPad is shutting down?
They're shutting down? Did you see that?
I didn't. I never used SpringPad.
I did, and I got an email from them saying you have, you know, a month to get your data off. And then,
were you a heavy user?
No, because you know what? I use Evernote.
Yeah.
And Evernote, by the way, will do exactly what you talked about. Now, web clipping on an iPad is challenging because the iPad, the way iOS works, doesn't really let you, say, take this page and send it to another app.
Right, yeah.
You can do it in the read it later stuff on Safari.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the only way you could do it. But Evernote on the desktop does allow you to do web clipping. So if you have a Windows or a Mac, you can put Evernote on there, put a little Evernote plugin on your browser, and then you could say, clip this, and it will then all be available on your iPad, which is, I think, really nice. Google has another note-taking app called Google Keep that has some of the same functionality.
Mm-hmm.
But in both cases, I think they were better than SpringPad. And I think it's probably why SpringPad went out of business. It's like,
well, Gloria is bummed about it. She says a lot of SpringPad users are panicking. There's
panic.
A Google Plus group dedicated to looking for alternatives.
Okay.
And she says she feels like Evernote lacks some functionality and some beauty that she found
it
in
It is not. SpringPad, its main claim to fame was it was gorgeous.
Yeah.
It was elegant, clean, and simple. Try Google Keep. That's also free, especially if you use Google Drive. Google Keep, you can go to keep.google.com, so you can go on an iPad. I don't know if there is a Keep app for the iPad, but you can always use the website and save that icon
to your desktop. And there is an app for many the desktop and many of the other mobile devices. I think Keep is a pretty good choice. Let me just see if they offer Keep on the iPad here.
I don't feel like we've ever talked much about Google Keep. Have we?
Maybe not. Not on this show.
Yeah. Maybe not. Yeah. I don't think so. I mean, it was never been one of my
apps. Does it ring
apps.
A bell? Have you ever heard of it?
Yeah, but I just don't know if we've ever really spent much time
with
it.
I don't know if it's an app, frankly, on the Google side.
Well, good grief.
I mean, you certainly can use it as a web app.
You know, I...
What else is good? All right, chat room, here's your chance.
All right, so...
What is it that you like?
Gloria's like Evernote, meh. Although Evernote is probably the best. I would think that would be the most obvious solution.
She says specifically she wants to clip browser pages.
Well, she said web clipping visual organizing apps.
Web clipping visual organizing.
I just feel like that's exactly what Evernote is.
Yeah.
You know?
And on the iPad, you can add to reading list. I don't think you can. I don't know. I don't know if a web clip. So that's the nice thing about Evernote. You could say, take this page, put it in my notebook.
You know what? This isn't, Gloria, I know this is not actually your sort of web clipping organizer app that you're asking for, but an app that might help you with your organization overall would be Sketch, which...
Another Evernote product.
It is, I know. You think that I'm pushing Evernote, and I'm really not. Sketch didn't used to be... It was bought by Evernote. Gosh, I guess it was last year. What's nice about... What's nice about Sketch is... You have so many options for annotation. So, like, if I was just to, like, bring in this photo and want to add something to it, over here on this side, it's like I've chosen what looks like an arrow icon. And this is really good for some sort of an office document or some reason where you have to be like, this is the part of the photo before you send it over to, you know, Leo to sign off on something, right? So I'm going to go ahead and get rid of that. But it's not just arrows. It's you can, you know, do some freeform marker stuff. You can add text if there's some sort of a part of a photo that you think needs to have some sort of a title. Of course, you can, you know, zoom in and change the look and change the color. What's nice about this, though, is that you might say, well, I mean, but there's only so many colors and so many sizes, and that's sort of what's nice about Sketch, is that it's really meant to annotate something easily. It's not really full of that many bells and whistles, really, but that's kind of why it's so popular, because sometimes people don't need anything to be all that complex.
Now, this is all going to be built in, I think, to iOS 8 and Yosemite. They certainly showed similar
something
features.
That was very Sketch-esque.
Yeah, yeah.
Sketch-esque.
But looked like Sketch was going to face a little problem going forward.
Well, you know, I think what Sketch will probably have is it will feel the need to scramble and offer more features. Because, right. Again, Apple's doing is going to do that because people love programs like this. It really comes in handy. Okay, so let's say, all right, I think I'm basically done here. And now I'm ready to do something with this photo of mine. You can, again, send it to, you know, an Evernote link, but also Facebook or message or mail or that sort of thing. Also, what's neat is go ahead and discard changes. Okay, let's start over. Now, this was me pulling something from a Photos app. So, like, yeah, I went for my camera roll. Or you could take a photo with your camera. Or you could annotate something on a map. And so you can go ahead and, like, either say nearby or come on, Sarah. Oh. Rue de Dragon Paris.
You know what kind of reminds me of?
The street of Paris I'm excited about. Yeah. And then I say, okay, let's take that snap. Very good. And now I can annotate this just as I did with my, you know, I could say something like, hey, Mom, I'll be here. Ta-da. You know, it just comes in handy for stuff that needs to be illustrated in some way. I could go on and on, but I really think Sketch and, yes, other offerings from Apple and others that do somewhat similar stuff, but it was kind of the first one.
You know what it reminds me of is
mark
like
up a web page.
You're at a bar and you got a great idea for a product and you pull out a napkin and you draw. And there's actually a program called Napkin. Have you played with this? It's a couple of bucks on the App Store.
No.
Same idea. So this doesn't do the web page part of what she described, but it does allow you to take information, organize it, draw stuff, draw lines, connecting it. I think a lot of people like this program as kind of a simple diagramming program. So I can add to my hero art, I can add my favorite heroic picture, which is Sarah Lane at the Battle of Agincourt, which was, of course, one can never forget that amazing event. Let me shrink it down.
Me and Little Pooh.
Yeah, yeah, right. And we'll just put her, whoops, come on, come on. There we go. Put her right in there. And so this is there. You can do it to show workflow. You could do it to, illustrate ideas. You could paste in images, as I showed. So here's an accident diagram. So I like this. It's called Napkin, a couple of bucks. Same idea. And then let me just show you real quickly. If you're in Safari, do not forget, if you're on a page that you want to save, that you can just press the share button and say add to reading list. And your reading list on Safari really kind of does look a little bit like a notebook, doesn't it? There's all the stuff that you've seen. Here's that same article on the reading list. That means offline even. You can take a look at the article. So that's two different things, and I don't know if it's going to solve your problem with the with the loss of what was it? I forgot now. That great app.
SpringPad.
SpringPad.
Yeah.
But there's some functionality. The problem is iOS isn't designed for sharing data between apps like a standard desktop computer is. No file manager, no inter-app communication. Then again, that's going to change with extensions, and I'll be very interested to see what happens in iOS 8 as Apple starts to open it up a little bit more.
Well, and something that, Gloria mentioned that she loved SpringPad and just is not so crazy about the way that Evernote looks with extensions and apps being able to talk to each other, the way that you might be able to layer the functionality of a few different apps rather than just having to pick one, that'll change.
I agree. It could be, again, we'll have to see how it's implemented, but I think that's going to be very exciting.
Yeah, it will change, that much we know. All right, this email comes from Nicholas, who says, could you guys please talk about what DuckDuckGo integration into iOS 8 is going to mean for Google? I don't remember what DuckDuckGo does.
It's a search engine. Doesn't keep track of your searches like Google does. And what happens now will happen in iOS 8, when you use the private browsing mode in Safari, when I'm using Safari, I can type anywhere up here. And if it's not a URL, if it's just a search, it'll do a search. And the way it does it right now is it goes to Google when you press go. But if you go in private browsing mode on Safari in iOS 8, instead of using Google, it uses DuckDuckGo. And DuckDuckGo, people like it because no data is sent to Google. But, really, that's the direction Apple's going in general. When you do Siri searches on the iPad and soon in Yosemite, sometimes it will search the web and even use Google, but it doesn't send your information to Google. All Google sees is some iPad, Apple, in effect, asking for that information. So this is Apple kind of doubling down on this privacy marketing message, and I think it's a good message for people who are uncomfortable with Google getting all that information. That's never bothered me, but I can see how it might bother some people. And so I think that if you want privacy, this is good news in iOS 8, the use of DuckDuckGo.
We love hearing from all of you, whether you have a question or an idea, or you want us to review your app. We get a lot of those, too. Hey, whatever. Just, talk to us. Talk to Leo and I throughout the week. We promise to consider.
Just call me.
You call
my
him.
My number is in the phone book. You call me up anytime. Middle of the night, I don't care. I'm often up.
707-555-1212.
Call it, and I'll answer any question.
Somebody called me this morning on my way up. I was driving here from home, and I don't know if it was like somebody I leaked my phone number or something.
I get calls. People think they're very clever. Uh-huh. I get calls all the time because my phone number has been out there from time to time.
Yeah.
And I just answer and they go, hi, this is Leo. And they go, and they hang up.
Right. This person was just sort of like, it was like, they weren't even, it wasn't heavy breathing. It was just like weird mumbling where I was like, I can't understand.
Yeah, they're
you.
Embarrassed. They got you.
Yeah. I can't understand.
They didn't expect that you would actually answer your phone. No. They thought your person would do that, your assistant.
Sure. Yeah.
Sarah Lane's phone.
You come to the studio, it's like we're not behind some, you know, bulletproof glass or anything. We're just hanging out. Come on over.
Let's not
you want to call me?
That point too much.
What do you
okay?
need? Actually, we have invisible force fields.
Oh, we have armed guards.
Armed guards from, you know, the See? Toughest parts of town.
Just everywhere protecting us.
They're all invisible, too. It's very high.
But it is funny.
Very high tech.
So yeah, do you don't think you leaked your phone number ever out? So I guess people could get it somehow.
I mean, there's a definite possibility. I've had the same number for a long time on i5 that I showed it by accident.
Well, that's what happens.
Yeah.
And it could be a wrong number, but it happens enough that I think it's people saying, oh, it's Sarah answering.
Yeah, and now I don't know what to do.
She answered, hamana.
I just wanted to know if she was really your phone.
Yeah.
But we do love hearing from you. If you would like to call us, the voicemail number that we suggest is 757-504-IPAD. Of course, you can write us at ipadtoday@twit.tv. And by the way, if you ever write in and we don't get to your question or app idea or whatever, hey, write again. Can't do it all every week because we get quite a bit of email, but we do our best. And you can always send us a video if you've got something to say and you want us to see you saying it. We're singing it, we're dancing
that,
it.
When people do that.
I like it too. And I wish it happened more often because it's like it's almost guaranteed that you'll get into the show because it's cool to see people like Brian from a few episodes ago who sent a little video of himself sitting in a square in Mexico City.
That was so cool.
Yeah. Be like Brian.
Traveling around, send us a video of your travels. We'd
love
to.
Please do.
Keep it under 30 seconds. That's all we ask.
All right. I think this is the time of show where we put hats on and we kind of do that whole thing. I'm just going to go ahead and do that now. What are you laughing at? Why are you doing?
Well, this is the pause.
Okay. I know. I'm like,
where we would do an ad if there's an ad, but we don't know if
I don't know.
It's not how you wear a deerstalker hat, although that's cute.
This looks more like
put the brim
something from
forward.
The 1920s.
Put the brim forward. That's the key.
Like this?
Yeah. And oh, that's Sherlock Holmes. You know who Sherlock Holmes is? Have you ever heard of him?
I just didn't realize it went down so far in the back.
It goes both ways. It
seems weird.
It's a cap. It's one of the only caps that I know of that has a bill in the front and the back.
Oh, what is that you're wearing? Because it looks like a arm warmer / hat. /
I'm going to kill that Needles kid.
Very small sleeping
Whose
bag.
Idea was it to let him pick the apps caps?
I've never.
This is my ostrich pillow.
That was certainly not my
and
idea.
It's actually very appropriate, and I'll explain why.
Okay.
After you do your app cap.
Oh, really? Well, we don't get to talk about the hats right off the top?
Sherlock Holmes. See? But you know what's funny? In this Sherlock Holmes, the modern Sherlock Holmes recreation that is so good with Benedict Cumberbatch.
He's all right.
Love him.
Yeah, he's kind of fun.
Great guy.
Yeah.
They explain the Deerstalker cap. It's very funny. It's an accident. Sherlock Holmes and Watson are hiding from the press. Thank you. That's actually correct. They're hiding from the press and in a theater. And as they run out the door, they say, quick, put on a cap to hide yourself. And he just grabs it because it's an old-fashioned hat. So it's obviously a costume hat. Grabs it, puts it on, and ever after that becomes his trademark. In fact, I believe Sherlock Holmes did, in fact, wear a deerstalker hat.
That is fascinating stuff. Now, why are we wearing hats? Well, it's the AppCap Award part of the show on iPad Today. If you're joining us for the first time, even though this is episode 205.
I should be like...
You kind of look...
A Vermeer painting, like I'm the washerwoman.
You look a little bit like one of the characters in Jabba the Hutt's little, like, den thing.
Is it better if I put my arms in the armhole?
I don't know. I don't know if that's better. Are you supposed to do that?
I'll explain.
Why are there so many holes in that weird hat?
There are...
It looks somewhat comfortable if you were on a plane or something and you wanted to...
Bingo!
Am I...
Bingo!
Am I actually working this out in my head?
You are working it out in your head. I'm very impressed.
So you wear it, and then you put your arms in there.
If I did it like I was supposed to, with my face hole in the hole, and my arms in here,
and then I slumped forward, then it would be how it's supposed to be.
God, really? That doesn't even look comfortable.
It's called the ostrich pillow.
I don't think anyone wants to sleep like that, really.
Nobody.
No. Well, you look good. And you could have a lot of impactful, you know, like some sort of a combat Oh my gosh, look at that. Look at those people. They all look dead.
I know.
It looks really weird. It looks like you've been poisoned.
If you did this,
come on, they show you that photo, like, that's going to make you want to buy
somebody
it?
Somebody would call an ambulance and say, he seems to have died.
Say, this man wrapped himself up in all of this fabric, and he laid down, and I think he's dead.
I am not an animal.
Come on.
I am a human.
I can't. I just can't. I can't with this. I can't with you. You do look like Elephant Man.
Yeah.
That's what Bunny Emerald says. You look like Elephant Man. Congratulations, Kickstarter.
What is your pick of the week?
Hey, Co. Okay, so we're, you know, deep in World Cup, and hey, it happens once, but every 4 years, so I'm in, right? I'm excited. Mm-hmm. But that's not the only sport going on, but I can't really pay attention to all the sports because who's got the time?
Has the time to pay attention to all the sports? I say that frequently.
I know. And that's why I know that you're going to like this app. It's from Reuters. It's actually called Sports Reel. And what's nice about it is that it is almost like a linear timeline as to what's happening. So right now, it's World Cup, right?
Right.
Tour de France
With the worst logo, by the way, the FIFA World Cup. But we'll talk about that another time.
Oh, with the... It's like
the face palm.
Comic Sans type thing? Oh, you mean the actual...
This trophy is like a hand on the face.
It's a little bit weird.
It's like,
so we see that there's a countdown for the Tour de France, because maybe I would have forgotten about that. Now, we've got some sort of Hungarian race, and it says...
So this is sport of the world.
Exactly. Yeah. And Reuters is, of course, you know, it's a news organization, so they've got reporters all over the place. What's neat about this is, okay, so the Hungarian sports thing that I've never heard of before, they say, well, the countdown to this event hasn't started yet. It's more than 20 days from now, or more than 20 days from when we recorded this. But then you say, okay, well, World Cup is kind of the reason that I'm all into sports right now. Okay, well,
ooh,
now you've got your kind of, like, team rosters. Yeah, I had chosen USA and France as my two favorite teams, so you can get a sense of when there is, you know, stuff happening either in your time zone or the event's time zone. What's that little... Oh, that's kind of nice. Yeah, so this is where I chose my favorite teams. But here's even more fun. Okay, so I'm going ahead and looking at... World Cup. Okay, no, I just did that. No, how? Oh, never mind. I was on this page before. When I open up the...
That's neat that there's a countdown.
Yeah, there's kind of a countdown. Yeah. But then you're like, oh, you know, I don't really remember what even happened with the Tour de France last year. 2013 best photos. If I go ahead and click on that, then you kind of get more into, like, yeah, it's kind of that, like, that cool, you know, photojournalism where you see who took the photo. What the context of it was. This was a pack of writers cycling past the Sisters of the Consolation congregation, which was down in the Riviera somewhere. And yeah, and then you just kind of like, yeah, you get to look back and look at some nice photos before. But honestly, it really, isn't that great?
She's getting her hair done.
Yeah, look, there's a bunch of bikes, that's a big deal. Yeah, that's fun. Yeah, zoom. But again, it's not the most complex app. It's really kind of just like,
just a basic,
here's what's happening
app.
Right now, here's what's coming up. And I like it.
Why do we call it sports, plural, in the U.S., and everywhere else in the world they call it sport?
I don't know. That's a good question.
And you know, it's funny, because we call the study of mathematics math, but in England they call it maths, plural. So it just seems some confusion is going on.
You
which
know,
is
in the UK, you don't go to the hospital, you go to hospital.
In the United States, you don't drive down the 405. You drive down the... Actually, you do drive down the...
Yeah, that's more of a regional California thing.
Can I put this on?
We're getting a little inside baseball for y'all. See, another sport. Who's got the time?
So this was one of the Kickstarter projects that I funded...
Oh, did you?
They raised over $100,000 for this.
Uh-huh.
And this was when I started to think, you know, maybe there's more to funding Kickstarter projects than just giving them money and getting great stuff. At least I got something with the ostrich. So you may remember a Kickstarter, what do they call those? Kickstarter.
Project.
I want to say project.
Fundraising project.
Fundraiser.
Or something like that. Yeah.
From a company called Double Fine. Double Fine is a gaming company made up of LucasArts refugees. In fact, they did the Grim Fandango, which was, I thought, a great adventure game in LucasArts. And based on those credentials, they went to Kickstarter and said, we'd like to do adventure game, Double Fine Adventure, and we'd like you to help us. Within 30 days, they asked for $400,000. They raised $3.3 million, more than a million in, I think, the first 9 hours. It was an amazing story, partly because it was Double Fine and people expected good things of them. It's interesting, though, and this is one of the things that puzzles me with Kickstarter. Sometimes you see companies, real movie producers, go to Kickstarter, say, give us money. Then they raise money from other sources, and then they charge you money, too. And so Double Fine's adventure is out now, the one that they raised money for. It's called Broken Age. It is $10. And I am not recommending this. The only reason I mention it is because if you go to the App Store, on the front page of the App Store, you'll see it is a featured app. This is, you know, editor's choice, blah, blah, blah. People, you know, there's a lot of praise for it. The reviews are very, very strong for it. 5 stars. I want to just show you a little bit of the game, and you tell me if this is worth $3.3 million on Kickstarter, worth $10 of your money, worth your time. Now, to be fair, they say this is a kid's game.
Okay.
But I don't think you should even subject a kid to this game. So let's continue on.
There's also they say some weird stuff for a kid's game.
It's not super good looking. The gameplay is...
This is the massive avalanche?
Kind of dumb.
Really?
And what you don't know immediately is that you're paying $10 for only the first half of the game.
What?
It ends with a cliffhanger, and they're going to offer you more later.
That's not worse.
$10?
Yeah, it's a little bit expensive. And frankly, it's just a point game that you move around. And I frankly find it challenging, but not for a good reason. You also you're playing two different worlds. So this is a kind of odd science fiction-y world.
Don't worry. I'll figure out how to get you out of there soon.
No, you won't. It's not going to happen, I'm afraid. And then you can go to this kind of mythical world where instead of playing a guy, you play a...
Majestic to
a
behold.
Girl.
Awe-inspiring.
We played a little bit before the game, I think...
But Mark Chalk,
I think you saw enough of this game to realize it's not good.
Well, yeah, before the show, you were trying to figure out what you were missing, right? And I don't know.
Now,
I just don't...
They got Jack Black to do voices. Elijah Wood does the voice of the guy. They got some famous movie stars in this. But that doesn't make it a better game for anybody, frankly. I find the graphics kind of awful. To be honest with you, kind of ugly.
I don't know that I would say it's awful. I just don't... You don't seem to understand what the point of the game is. And if you don't, like, you know, who's this really targeted to?
Well, there's this knife.
It's a little...
I guess I'm...
If it's a little kid, though...
I don't know.
Whoa.
So I just want to mention this as not a pick, but as an anti-pick.
Okay.
And then I will show you a real pick. Can I just show you a real pick real quick? Because we've not mentioned it before, and we really ought to. It comes from Blizzard, the folks who did World of Warcraft. It's called Hearthstone. It's a card game, kind of like Magic from Wizards of the Coast, but using Warcraft characters. They call it Heroes of Warcraft. And I actually think they've done a really nice job. It's a beautiful game. If you're a Warcraft fan, you'll very much like it. I do have an account, but I, for the life of me, have no idea what my account is. Let's see if it's going to... Yeah. I don't want to enter my Battle.net address, but I'll do it without... without signing into an existing account. And I can show you a little bit of the game. Really nicely done. It's a card game. It's not super, graphical. And am I going to have to create an account? I've played it, but I guess I'm not logged in. And unfortunately, one of the things with Blizzard now is I have turned on second-factor authentication. Good. So you can see a little bit of this. That's good. Do you ever play Pokemon or Wizards? Or Magic or any of these games?
No, I know what they are, though.
You get the idea. Yeah. I have a hand. He has a hand. We're going to play cards from the hand against the other guy, and it's fun. If you like these kind of games, this is actually quite well implemented, and I think you'll get a lot of gameplay out of it. So this is to me a game that. That same age group, 9 to 11, that is expected to play Broken Age will much prefer. It's called Hearthstone from Blizzard. So a pick and an anti-pick for you.
I like that. Yeah. We should have a name for, like, the occasional anti-picks where we say, this is going to get so much attention, and it really isn't worth it.
Yeah.
And
so I don't want to let it go because I think, rather than you paying $10 for this, you should at least see what it is because they don't offer demos. It will be better when they have movies, but all you can see right now is like, pictures of the, you can't really tell what kind of game this is.
No.
From these.
In fact, it kind of looks interesting when you look at the still images.
Yeah.
Well,
it's a very frustrating, annoying game, frankly. Somebody said we should have an app cap and an app crap.
Ooh, good, I like that.
That's
app
NW.
Crap.
Yeah.
All right, well, Broken Age, that's our app crap.
Crap.
App crap of the week.
You know, the sad thing is, I was the guy, one of the guys who worked on this, was in on the weekend, I'd fund that. Mm-hmm. And he had a very interesting crowdfunded project on Kickstarter. It was a USB keyboard for the iPad that looked like an old-fashioned typewriter.
Yeah.
It was kind of cool. And we decided not to fund it because we thought it was going to be very hard to make at the price he was saying, and it was such a high price that nobody would buy it, and it just seemed like it was a non-starter. And he was mad, so I said, "Well, I'll tell you what, I'll do Broken Age, the game that you've developed." Now he
Boy.
Really he hates.
Now
me.
We need
I'm
that
sorry.
Bulletproof glass. Way to go.
Should I put my hat back on?
Put your
Maybe
hat on.
This'll save me.
And it'll stop the bullets.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, you know, you look great. You look like you're ready for a nap.
Mm.
A cool nap with your ostrich pillow, whatever it's called. Well, you know what? You know what's happened on this show is that it's ended.
It's over.
Yeah, the show has run its course.
It's done. You know.
I have an announcement to make. We're leaving.
Just for a week.
Yeah.
Don't think it's over for good. No, you're going to have to come back and suffer through this one more time.
It's week after week. This is
every
if there's
week.
Anything that you can be sure of, it's that we'll be here talking about, it's hard to say, whatever ends up coming up at the time. But yeah, so thanks everybody for watching iPad Today. You're lovely. And those of you who listen and don't watch, you don't see what Leo looks like right now, but I assure you it's horrifying. And the stuff that nightmares are made of. Until next week, I'm Sarah Lane.
I'm Leo Laporte.
Ow! Ow!